B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Yeah, good afternoon everybody, Mike Missinelli Show. Still on the air, still trying to bring it to you every day, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. All right, there are a couple sports issues that we will talk about, but today I would really like to get into paying tribute to the health workers who are putting themselves at risk, to the people who are working in grocery stores who are putting themselves at risk, to the people who are delivering your food and packages, who are putting themselves at risk by handling stuff that may be contaminated with germs. And I want to hear your stories and how you are getting through this today. And then we're also going to talk about a moral issue that I don't think a lot of people have thought about. This country is now besieged by corporations that are either laying off people or cutting their salaries. And I want to know what the responsibility of big corporate owners. I'm not talking about mom and pop businesses, the little restaurants and, you know, little shops where people have been trying to carve out a living. I'm talking about the multi-million dollar corporations and what their responsibility is here. Because I've got a conflict. And the conflict is this. Are you cutting people and cutting salary because you are trying to maintain a profit line? And if you are doing that, I would like to know whether that's fair or not. Yeah, you know, just to the people. Because people are scared, all right? You got people that are really nervous about being an employee these days because they don't know from day to day whether the corporation is going to clip them or not. And they have to maintain a living. They have children, they have families, they have mortgages, whatever they have to pay their bills. So they're scared. So the people are willing at this point to go along with everything. And I just want to discuss this kind of in a bigger issue because I don't think we've had time to discuss this. We're so involved in the panic of this that we'll take anything. As long as we have any money coming in, we'll take whatever the corporations want to do. And I want to know what the corporation's responsibility is. Because here's the way I look at economics. And I'm no economic genius, by the way. But I look at economics like this. If you're a big corporation, you have thrived because you're making profit. You're growing, you're continuing to make profit. So if you make profit and something unexpected like this comes along, is it your responsibility to maintain your profit line or to be loyal to your employees and maybe take a hit? Now, a small company takes a hit, they could go out of business. A big company takes a hit, takes a tax loss. And they're two different things, at least is the way I understand it. So when we're talking about a major corporation, if you're going to lose money in a particular year because you're still paying employees, you still come out on top because of a tax loss. I mean, that's the way, maybe I'm wrong when it comes to that, but that's the way I look at it fundamentally. So I want to discuss this with people who are in this kind of a situation, who may be an executive for a company or maybe the lowest rung employee, on what the responsibility is. Then on that note, we read a lot about high-priced athletes giving up a lot of their salary, donating things to charity. We read about these athletes that are doing it because the athletes are wealthy. But they're not as wealthy as the owners. And aside from Mark Cuban, I haven't seen any owners step up, some billionaire step up, except for Josh Harris did alleviate the pay cut. He thought, this is what I'm talking about. He realized it came out, it was a bad look. Like, I'm worth $4 billion. I'm going to maintain, I'm going to worry about my profit line at this point and let $50,000 people get cut. And so when we rallied together, it stopped that, right? For at least the time being. So why aren't other owners following suit like that? You see what I'm going with this, Tyrone?
I do. And not one time did you mention anything about some law or anything. You're talking about responsibility. And I think people have to recognize for a second that a billionaire, that means they have $1,000 million. Mm-hmm. Like, just so people, sometimes I think people think millionaire and billionaire is the same. Mm-hmm. They are not the same, not by a long shot.
Yeah.
In these times, when things happen that have never happened before, like you're talking about Amazon, you mentioned that those guys are out there delivering things all over this country. That owner's worth over $100 billion. And if any of those drivers get sick, they do not get paid sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't a man worth, just to give an example, this is the most extreme because he's the richest man in the world.
Yes.
When you have that much money, even if you might lose, I'm saying out loud, he would lose money. Like, obviously, that wouldn't be free. But when a pandemic happens, could a man worth over $100 billion, which means they have more than $1,000 million. So, like, when you talk about a player getting $30 million, this guy has $1,000 million.
Right.
Should he take some sort of loss to take care of people who got sick?
Yes.
To me, yes. That's, to me, you're responsible
right,
when you make that kind of money.
Because we have a moral fiber and a moral clock that dictates that. Right.
Yeah.
Now, the other side of it is a capitalistic society. And one of the downfalls of a capitalistic society is that people want to get richer than somebody else. They don't care about other people. And in doing that, capitalistic society allows you to step on the little people. That's just the perils of a capitalistic society. So my question is, corporation owners, big ones now, and I mean, there are millions of them, right? So is it that company's responsibility to take a loss, which really technically isn't a loss when you compare it to previous years of great wealth and profit? And the loss is actually a tax loss that can benefit you in the long run. Should you take a loss in light of the fact that the losses that are being imposed on your low-rung employees are much, much worse in this capitalistic society? That's all I'm asking.
I'm interested in what the people have to say about this, because I see both sides, because people become billionaires by chasing that $1 billion.
Right.
By not doing things like that. But I wonder, when a pandemic happens, should we shift?
And if I want to simplify it's you're going to be okay, corporation, no matter what happens here. Whether it's tax loss, whether it's you have to dip into your previous year's profits. Other people are not. And so that's what I do. I put it on a scale like that. All right, we'll talk about it. Here's a couple sports things that are going on. The NCAA did approve an extra year of eligibility for spring athletes, which is a good thing. We talked about that. So it's just a matter of if you want to stay in another year of school, if you have to go to grad school, whatever, just preserve your eligibility, or whether you're ready to branch out and like try professional sports or try a job.
Right. Right? If you're a track athlete
whatever.
Who wasn't going to the Olympics.
Right. And the other one is the Eagles did the right thing, and I'll give them some credit. And we've been talking about this, and we had some people complaining about this. The Eagles have postponed their season ticket payments to help fans during the... So the money you need to sustain yourself does not have to go now to Eagles season tickets. You're still going to be able to do it. They're going to delay the payments. And the next payment, I think, was due in early April. Yeah, April 16th. So there you go. All right, now, we've got our Fanatic 500 Fast Cash Contest. We had a winner yesterday in the 2 o'clock hour. And here's the way it works. 7 times each weekday, you're going to have a chance to score $500 in the Fanatic 500 Fast Cash Contest. Every weekday, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., 6 p.m., 8 p.m., we're going to announce the Fast Cash keyword. You'll have up to 15 minutes to enter it on the Fanatic app on 975thefanatic.com or by texting the keyword to 45911. Only those who enter on the mobile app or the website are qualified to win a $10,000 cash prize, grand prize, at the end of this contest. The rules for this company-wide contest are 975thefanatic.com. So, the fast cash keyword as we go into the break is caring.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. All right, it's time to start the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by, of course, the great people at Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. You get that part shipped right to you. Fix it up. Boom, you're ready to go. Natalie Eganoff with us. Nat.
Hi, Mike. Yes, I'm here. Today's poll has over 100 votes on it early. Do large corporations owe something to their employees through a pandemic? 89% say yes, 11% say no.
Okay. All right. Now, listen. I understand that corporations, big ones, public corporations, are beholden to their shareholders. I get that, okay? And so a lot of the profit margin is dictated by shareholders and the purchase and discarding of shares. So yeah, I want to factor that in. But what I'm trying to do is look at the corporate responsibility to their profit margin. And I know it's hard not to blend in the stock thing, but let's just think of what the responsibility is as far as the employee, low level, and a corporation who has made millions of dollars.
All right. The other part with the stockholders, let's say you're running a large corporation and you yourself are a billionaire.
Uh-huh.
You can use your personal money to do that and not affect the profit margin. And then that doesn't affect, even in a publicly traded company, you have a salary. Mm-hmm. So if you're worth a lot of money, you can say, okay, it costs me, to make numbers easy, $1 million per month. Mm-hmm. I can then, because $12 million is nothing for me, can say for the next X number of months, I will pay that from my personal money. So my company then, it's not coming out of the company. You can choose to do that.
You would like to say, I know this has gotten under your skin, about the owners and the lack of, maybe they're doing it clandestinely. They don't want to be identified. They're doing it anonymously. You would like to see the owners of all sports franchises, all of whom are not poor. And even if you look at their paper profit, it's you have to also include the fact that their asset goes up. And so they're not losing a dollar.
Right.
Right, so you would like to see in a perfect world the owner of every professional sports team organization donate some of their money here in some kind of form.
Yes, and the reason I say that is if a player who is employed by that owner can afford to do it, and they're doing it in large scale, publicly and privately, I'm saying some are announcing it, some are using it as ways to raise money, the owner who's paying them does have the money. Now, they can set up, I'll match up 20% on every dollar that my player. There's ways of doing it, but I do, and I think it should be public in a time like this because, unfortunately, peer pressure does matter right now because they just do. No one wants to be shamed at a time like this. So if they do it publicly, it will lead to others doing it by doing it privately. And they have every right normally to do anything they want privately.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, I'm bothered by it more because I've noticed when somebody else does something publicly, then another person steps up. It's contagious in a positive way. And that's why I need them to do it, because I think a lot of people are going to struggle if they don't help out.
All right. And also the idea and the notion of healthcare workers, because I really would like to hear from you today, the risk that you're putting yourself through, regular employee. You know, this is a grocery store yesterday and today, and I'm amazed at the traffic that's going on and the people that have to work hourly with all this traffic coming in and out. And in fact, today, I believe, Whole Foods employees staged a sick out.
Yeah, because they didn't feel like they were getting taken care of. Again, that goes back to they're owned by Amazon.
Yes, and like, you know, Bezos has a little bit of money.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of money. So whatever their complaints are, I would think that he'd be able to take care of those complaints.
I would like to give credit, though, to Acme and Giant. Those two have, the workers have come forward and said that across the board, they all got raises.
They did.
For working through this, yes. Now, maybe there are others. Mm-hmm. I'm just naming the two that I know for a fact, because the workers tweeted me and said, I work at this grocery store. They came to us and said, since you guys are all working, here's an extra $2 for everybody that's working. Giant and Acme both did that. And I think that should be highlighted, because we're not, that's to me good. Yes. Now, if you can argue that's not enough, or if you want to make, but they did something on their own without being shamed. Hey, guys, you guys are working. Here's some extra money.
I went to a Giant today. I was in a Whole Foods yesterday. Went into a Giant today because I had to get lentils.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make a lentil. This is what I do. Dude. I'm so bored that I have to cook all the time.
You're making
so
different stuff.
I saw this recipe, and if I didn't have any lentils. So I go into the Giant, and lo and behold, Tyrone, first time ever, I saw toilet paper.
Oh, it was there.
I bought a 12-roll of toilet paper.
Because you don't know when you'll see it again.
I mean, I don't know where it came from. It must have been just delivered, and they put it in the aisle.
Probably.
Probably.
I just got lucky.
I had to buy some for my dad, and Target had some. I got to drop it off.
Let me ask you this question, because this is what I've noticed. It's taken me several trips to the grocery store to buy a small bottle of hot sauce. Why would this be? Why would there be a shortage of hot sauce?
Because everybody's eating eggs, and everybody puts hot sauce on their
everybody
eggs.
Everybody puts hot sauce on eggs?
I would guess that.
I think that's... I think that's part of the reason. The other thing is, people are doing... So, exercise videos and cooking videos, the traffic for those have really increased, because people can't go to the gym.
Yeah.
So, people are going like Instagram, Facebook Live, and they're cooking videos. I think hot sauce has become an in thing with foodies. I don't love that word, but they call themselves foodies. And I think people that are getting their internet recipes right now, a lot of them are calling for hot sauce, and I think they're trying to stick with the trend.
I would liken hot sauce to a ketchup at this point. I think it's an essential condiment.
People are using it for everything.
I only use one kind of hot sauce. Crystal hot sauce.
That's the old school. The crystal
Louisiana,
is...
Louisiana.
You can't go wrong with a crystal.
And I haven't been able to find it in three visits to a grocery store. And today, two bottles of crystal were left. I'm going, this hot sauce is like off the shelves. What the hell?
Well, you got it, right?
I got it, yeah. But like most of the other hot sauces were gone. The other brands.
Most?
There was a lonely bottle of Frank's, which they cranked the price up on. And I don't go for Frank's hot sauce.
Well, I do think that in the foodie community, hot sauce is big. It's used a lot. So, and people are home, so they're probably using hot sauce, yes, on the eggs, like Natalie said, but lunch and dinner, too.
Everything.
There's just hot sauce.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Ian in Delaware. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Mike? Yeah, you know, I got three bottles of hot sauce, because when you're at home cooking, I eat a lot of mac and cheese and eggs. I put hot sauce on it. So.
Well, I didn't realize that that many people used hot sauce.
Yeah, I had to run out. I got three bottles this time, because I use a lot of it.
Yeah, I just have one bottle. You know, that's all I do. I don't want to hoard.
You know? I get the hottest kind, then I have to drink a lot of water with it. So make me drink a lot of water. So,
okay.
But being at home, I'm watching these old games, and I don't know why I did this to myself, but I watched the Eagles Pats game in 2005. If you look back at it, I ask you right now, who was the person you blamed the most for that game that they lost? Right now in your head, who would you blame?
Probably McNabb.
Yeah.
It's probably unfair because the quarterback has the ball so much and he's supposed to make a play every single time he takes a snap. But, yeah, I mean, he's the easy target.
Yeah, because he looked like he was sick or something. Was it confirmed that he actually threw up?
Because I don't know what happened to him. We'll never know what happened to him, probably. It's in his own body, whether he was choking up a little bit, whether he got sick, whether it was anxiety, whether it was just nervousness, whether it was just hot sweats. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the thing I noticed about it was the lack of urgency that was fostered by the coaching staff and or the quarterback. That's the one thing I didn't understand in that game towards the end.
Yeah, you look at that team. That team was really good. That defense was really good. Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, but they didn't play well. They didn't play well in that game.
You think?
But
you look at that Pats offensive line. That offensive line was really good, too. Both those teams were really good.
They played that well in that game, though.
It was a great game, though.
Brian Dawgs didn't play that well in that game. Trotter didn't play well in that game. You know, it was a mixed bag.
This morning,
I wasn't working then.
Where'd you watch the game at?
I watched the game. I was actually sick, but I watched the game in South Beach, Florida, my hotel room.
Oh, wow.
I was in a little vacation with my girlfriend at the time, and that's where I watched the game. I had a little, sweats, chills for like it was a quick bug, so I wasn't on the air when they were that.
Yeah, this morning that they're talking, I'm on your side about the basketball. Maybe you should just cancel on the ESPN. They're talking about Jason Williams was talking about they're really serious about this, about putting the games on the vessel and quarantine all the players.
Yeah, what's the point? I look at it like, what's the point? Like, you know what? Really, are we that desperate? We got to squeeze the season in. That's the thing. It's just a bastardization of what we know as sport. Richard in West Deptford, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Richard.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Rich?
Hey, my wife, she works at Chick-fil-A, and she's one of the managers in South Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is, the boss is offering employees, if you want to work more time, you get paid time and a half, or if you want to work less time, you still get your 30 hours a week. They'll pay you, but they'll pay you for even if you work 15 hours.
Really?
And if they get sick, they'll pay up to 7 days of sick. Then you have to take your sick leave after that.
Well, who in the world would want to work 30 hours if you're getting paid for 30 if you only work 15?
Because a lot of those people get time and a half, and they like doing what they do. I know Chick-fil-A gets a bad rep around some places, but they treat their people amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
They're even giving you full meals to take home to your family members every day.
All right, so let me get this straight. If you work 30, you get time and a half. If you only work 15, you get paid for 30. But
you get paid for 30 regular or whatever. If you work 15 hours, 20 hours, because some high school kids, their parents don't want them to go, they'll still pay them their 15 hours up to 7 days, then they have to take a sick leave after
That's pretty good, man. I like when companies try to do the best by their employees. That's really admirable to me.
And their company, the owner of it, is not a corporation. They had to buy the company. They had to buy the store. So
the franchise, yeah.
Yeah, so when people give it a bad name because everybody, I travel out to the West Coast, they don't want to eat there, they treat their people pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've got other personal problems with the... There's never been a Chick-fil-A near me, so I've been to Chick-fil-A maybe three times in my whole life.
See, my wife ran Burger King and a Taco Bell when we lived in Tennessee, and the difference of it is night and day how they treat their people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insanely different how these people get treated at this place. I mean, it may be different than others, but everywhere I go, it's very clean, very upfront. But I'm glad you guys are talking about that because my wife has to work. But see, they have a process. If you're sick, if you have a cough for a fever, you have to ask the manager to check in. If you have any of these symptoms, they send you to a doctor to get checked out.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great, man. I'm glad you put that forward, Richard.
Okay,
that's really good stuff. Yeah, thank you. No, these are great stories because if employees are doing right by their employees, we'd love to hear that as well.
I've actually heard that if you work at Chick-fil-A, they really take care of you.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That's a well-known thing.
I don't have familiarity with Chick-fil-A because where I grew up, I never saw one. And then one appeared, but it was only at the Oxford Valley Mall.
It was a little bit
in Langhorne.
A little hype.
And only at the food court.
Oh, okay.
Like, so you know, I I don't know how many times I go to the mall. So, you know, I wasn't going to go to the mall just because of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. I love Chick-fil-A.
Uh-huh.
I love Chick-fil-A.
Is that the top, your top fast food?
Yes. Now, I stopped eating meat, but I still, if I run a certain amount, like I forget what it was, like 8 miles or more, then my treat would always be the waffle fry from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I'm not a waffle fry fan.
The nuggets are superb.
Fantastic.
Right. Fantastic.
The milkshakes there are fantastic. I mean, I want to do a commercial for the place, but I like that place.
I
understand
I want
some
it right
of the
now.
Issues that people have, and I'm not saying that anybody's wrong or right about those issues. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. But me, personally, love that place.
Yeah. Are you a Chick-fil-A person?
Oh, yeah.
But now, wait, we grew up in the Northeast. They're Chick-fil-A.
So actually, funny story, when they finally opened one on the boulevard, me and my friends slept outside.
Oh, yeah,
you told that story. Yeah, I told that story, right?
We
slept outside to get a year's worth of free chicken sandwiches on the boulevard.
Wait. How did they award this?
You had to sleep outside overnight, and then it was like the first like so many people who stayed outside got the year's worth of Chick-fil-A like certificates.
Well, how did you guarantee that you were one that would get it? Did they limited the number of it?
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah.
So what did they say? Like the first 20?
No, it wasn't the first 20. I feel like it was like the first like 100 or something.
First 100 that would sleep outside.
Well, we did.
That's for chicken sandwiches.
For Chick-fil-A, yeah.
So you got a year's worth of chicken sandwiches?
Yeah, we would go after school all the time.
And was there a quota?
No.
It wasn't.
It was
so you're like Kramer and Seinfeld, where you get free cafe lattes anytime you wanted them?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah. And we would drive up like after school.
What'd you do? Have a card or something?
No, you had certificates.
Oh, see, so they limited the certificates. You could actually run out of the certificates.
Like 365 certificates, I thought it was.
Yes, okay.
So you can get one every day.
Yeah.
If you want it.
But it can build up, obviously, because they're closed on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
So you already can go twice. You could double dip.
You can use 50 of them for a part of your house.
Yeah, it was great.
There you go.
It was so clutch being like 16. My mother didn't even know that I did it. Now I'm ratting myself out.
In fact, they were so good that when they had their controversy, I was still doing stand-up. Uh-huh. And I said on stage that they could admit that they didn't like black people, and I'd still go.
Oh my God.
That was part of a joke that I would tell. Like, they could come out and say they don't like black people, and I'd still go.
Boy.
That was part of the stand-up at the time.
Yeah,
when they had the controversy.
I was removed from Chick-fil-A world.
I was
sheltered, apparently. All right, let's go Brad Lansdale. Brad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brad.
Mr. Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Brad?
First off, I want to touch on a couple of things. First off, I've had the pleasure of my father work with you throughout the years back in the 70s, 80s. He was a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Oh, really? Who's your dad?
Yeah. I'm not going to give you my last name.
Okay.
Because I want to touch on this work thing.
All right.
But, he worked for Philadelphia Inquirer. His first name was Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
He's since passed on.
Okay.
But you know who I'm talking about?
I know exactly who you're talking about. He's the teacher at Temple.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep. Adjunct professor.
Yeah, good man.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to touch on, I'm in the moving industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in and out of people's homes on a daily basis still today. And I got to tell you, I am scared to death out here. It is a genuine fear to come in and out of somebody's home and then have to come back home.
Yeah.
Because this disease is a killer. And I'm not going to tell you who I work for, unimportant for the name. However, as a collaborative whole, like all of us drivers, all we talk about is like getting some sort of hazard pay.
Mm-hmm.
And we see nothing for it.
This is what we're talking about here. The responsibility of a wealthier employer.
And I do work for, I don't work for a mom and pop place.
Mm-hmm.
I work for,
well,
for a major
that's
player.
Just that's a terrible thing, man. I wish I could out your company. I know why you'd be reluctant to do it, but you know sometimes like a public alley can make people do the right thing. It's just not right to send people out there. It's not right to have employees of a grocery store unprotected or whatever they're complaining about as far as hazard pay.
And there's other issues that go on, but we're not going to go into them. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'll tell you, I mean, it's not only that. Like, if you look at the big picture, like, this disease now, it's a killer. Like, you die alone. Like, if you die, you can't have visitors if you end up in the hospital. And if these people, me in consideration as well, you know, we're putting our lives on the line in a genuine form.
I know you are. That's why I have a great empathy. That's why I brought this up today. I mean, even something as simple as delivering a package to somebody's house is risky. The package is risky. The person you're meeting at the door is risky. It's like, all that stuff. It's a bad thing, and that's why I'm trying to bring light to it here. Employers who are listening, listen to the people.
Yeah, we're not dealing with the flu. We're dealing with a deadly virus.
Yeah, I get it,
and the fear is overwhelming. But other than that, what I wanted to, I got to have Ruggs or I got to have Judy here. I am a total Alabama head. I had the pleasure of becoming an Alabama fan at the Palestra years and years ago when Bama was playing at the Palestra, and I had an experience there, and that's how I became a Bama fan. But I have to have one of those two receivers here. I have to go out and get my Judy or Ruggs jersey now.
we'll see what happens. By the way, Brad, I don't know if this is good. Your dad actually covered the game that was on television Sunday between Villanova and Georgetown.
Yes.
Yeah, he wrote the game story. Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yes. All right, man. Listen, great talking to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work, and you guys stay safe, all right?
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. Bye. So there you go. This is just like little things that are going on today. We're just trying to help people. The people that have the means to help people. You can't just... Now listen, hazard pay only goes so far because hazard pay is not going to eliminate the risk.
Right. You know,
it only makes the risk more palpable.
It does, but it at least they're getting compensated because the alternative to people, for example, dangerous to bring stuff to people's houses. But the alternative is everybody going out in the streets to get those things. So it's like, since they're doing something, make sure they have the best state-of-the-art protection as far as suits, masks, gloves. Make sure they have everything. And unfortunately, that part hasn't been taken care of. Because I get that we have to take care of the doctors and the nurses absolutely first, absolutely. But if you own a company and you have a lot of money, you got to make sure the people out there delivering for you have everything they need to be safe.
And more now than ever, people are getting stuff delivered.
Right.
They're not going in the house, so it's easy to order stuff. In fact, I had delivery coming today, and I had to sign, and I waited till the last possible second to come here, and I'm going, like, what can I do? And I'm thinking, okay, maybe if I left a note saying my neighbor would accept the delivery, and I would call my neighbor, and I go, I can't put him at risk. Like I can't put, like, what do I, the package is going to, like, he's going to be afraid to receive that package that I get. I can't put anybody at risk like that.
It's tough now. I've been trying to support the local businesses. I got delivery this weekend, and I have to say the places by me made sure that the person who delivered the food had a mask and gloves on when they passed it. So that was refreshing. And we also kept the distance, like, they'll leave it down. That's the other thing. A lot of these places are leaving things down. And there's no human contact.
Are you giving them cash? Like, how's this working out? Are you giving cash to these people?
No, I'm...
What do you do?
I'm tipping on the website where I'm ordering.
Okay.
It has the online... But I'm tipping heavy. Okay. Like, I think something
was... So it's all paid for by the time... You don't have to exchange
anything.
Money.
Okay. And they have gloves on, and they literally... I'm letting them put the food on the ground if they want. Mm-hmm. And I pick it up off the ground.
Yeah.
And then I take the thing and then wash my hands.
Yeah, there's an option now that you can, if you do have delivery, you can specify to just leave it on the front step. And a lot of what I've been reading is if you are apprehensive about bringing it in the original packaging, you go outside, wipe it down, leave the trash out there, I guess, you know, put it in the trash out there, and then bring whatever you're getting into your house.
Yeah, with your own container that you brought, you bring outside.
That's where we are right now.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a way, and I've been tipping heavier. So let's say I think it was like a $30 order. I don't know what people normally tip, but whatever it was, for me, I think I went $10 on a $30 thing. I don't know if it felt like that was a good amount for the person and no contact. But then it was a way to support the people. But they had on a mask and gloves, two different places in my area. So I think at least restaurants are trying to protect their people.
Yeah, that's all good. I want to hear from some grocery store people, because that, you know, we go, okay, we can still go to the grocery store, we can still hoard, we can still grab our stuff, blah, blah, blah. We're not thinking of the other people who are there all day working. And strange people coming in left and right. All right, 610-632-0975, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.244 Mike Missinelli Show. All right, some news just broke. Yeah, they have approved the extra playoff games in the NFL. And a little programming TV note. So the two additional playoff games will air on CBS and Nickelodeon. And Nickelodeon will have a different broadcast team for the kids.
I think that's a good idea.
So what? The play-by-play, Mark Summers will be the play-by-play. Donnie Jeffcoat will be the analyst. And Summer Sanders,
oh yeah,
sideline reporter.
This is amazing.
She knows
this is sports.
There you go. Double dare in the booth.
This is great.
That's smart. Apparently, NFL, they do their research, and apparently the fan base is the second oldest behind baseball. It's a way to perhaps get younger.
Exactly. Omar Gooding.
You could have
throw
Omar
in
Gooding.
Him. Yeah. Yes. Omar Gooding.
Although he got blackballed by the NFL. They won't let him for that playmaker show.
Yes.
So they won't let Omar in the building.
No, Omar Gooding.
But they could have.
Mike O'Malley?
You gotta have Mike O'Malley. If you don't have Mike O'Malley, you can't have it. You gotta have Mike O'Malley. He didn't get banned by the NFL. He could be that.
What was the commercial he did? Was it an ESPN commercial he used to do? The Rick?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Hey, this is the Rick. Like, he was a Boston Bruins fan?
Yeah.
That was Mike O'Malley, right?
That was Mike O'Malley. He had a sitcom for a while.
And then, what was the, remember Mo on Guts, Global Guts? She was the one with the accent.
Yes.
No. You remember her?
I do remember her.
Because when Mike O'Malley hosted Guts, Nickelodeon Guts, back in the day, which was a powerhouse of a television show.
Summer Sanders. I was a big fan.
Yeah, she was great.
Swimmer, right?
Yeah.
Olympic swimmer?
Olympic swimmer. Who was going to go back to the Olympics, but everybody offered a bunch of money to do TV.
Yeah.
So she didn't go back to the Olympics.
What's she doing now, Summer Sanders?
I don't know.
Yeah, she disappeared off the face of the earth, didn't she?
Yeah, she had it going.
What is she doing?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. She had a nice little broadcasting run.
Is she in regular life?
Yeah, she hosted Figure It Out on Nickelodeon, so they're just bringing back all these 90s greats.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, there you go.
But I think it's a smart idea, because if for the adults, you still tune into your regular broadcast, but if the kids, you want to get them into the game, maybe you turn on Nickelodeon and boom.
There you go. Yeah. All right, cool. Todd in Lehigh Valley. Todd, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Hey, Mike. What's up?
What's up, Todd?
Hey, not much. Hey, I just wanted to talk about these corporations and things with the stimulus bill. Now, all children are at home right now, and my wife and I both work for a large corporation that has more than 500 employees.
Uh-huh.
So, because of that, we apparently, neither of us are eligible to collect unemployment while our children are home, because we work for a company that has more than 500 employees.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't work for a company that has, if you work for a company that has less than 500 employees, the parent is eligible to collect unemployment plus get $600 a week. So it's like, what about us? Like, there's 59 million Americans who work for a company with over 500 employees, but we cannot collect unemployment or get any help while our children are home and being homeschooled. I just don't
understand. Have you talked to your congressman about this?
I left a message today.
I
did not hear anything yet back. But I mean,
well, that's where you got to go.
You know what I mean? I just think that's asinine. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, it's not that we make more money because we work for a big company.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
You know, that's just
a fair argument.
That just shows what is more important, the, you know, the big corporation, you know, because...
Listen, it's about profit margin. It's about shareholders. I get all of it, but it's like, you know, I can't justify, just based on the way I grew up, can't justify the little guy getting pushed around all the time.
No, I agree.
You know?
One thing I do want to say also is that now my wife works in a hospital, and she's been home since the kids have been home for the last 2.5 weeks. But her director said maybe you could go on Facebook Marketplace and maybe find a college student to watch your kids. But like, aren't we supposed to be social distancing from people? Why? And she did say, I wouldn't do it if I had kids, but if, you know, maybe you would want to. It's like, are you serious?
Well, you know, some people have to like be in that kind of a spot. And the only thing you'd hope is that they are not infected or they have been tested or whatever, and you have to go through those kind of parameters, and then you can still social distance if you trust the person.
Yeah, I just think, like I said, though, it's just kind of crazy that...
Well, you know, one of the things we can't do is, like, assume everyone is a leper.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And you can't... I know, like, I'm in the grocery store, and I'm, like, sidestepping.
All right, you know,
I'm
right?
I'm trying to maintain that six-foot thing, and I'm sidestepping, and people have masks on, and I don't have a mask, so I feel like I'm putting them at risk. It's weird.
It is weird, but, yeah, like I said, though, it's just... I don't understand how they would pass the bill and not take care of people.
Yeah,
work for a big company,
I hear you, man. Well, good luck. Good luck
to you. Yep.
All right, Todd. Let's go, Jim in Swarthmore. Jim, you're a 97.5 Fanatic.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Jim?
I have a different perspective I want to run by you.
Okay.
I'm retired. I spent my career in executive positions in public companies, mm-hmm. only public companies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a different, you mentioned about the profit and shareholders.
Right.
What's different about this situation today than any other is that really this is not about profit as we stand here today. It's really about survival. And to me, I have an idea when I'm on Bayou that, you know, that I think would at least address some of this. And it goes along with what you've been saying.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about dividends. Well, first of all, the dividend, people with dividends have stock. The more you get in a dividend, the more stock you have.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the more money you have.
Right.
I mean, that's just a mathematical thing,
mm-hmm.
in general.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. The company, in my opinion, because without the, especially the trucking industry, which has really not taken a kind of a hit because more and more, I mean, nothing really has changed, certainly in food delivery,
mm-hmm.
maybe more.
Yeah.
So my idea would be, and if I were running a public company again, I would seriously consider eliminating the dividend temporarily, redirecting that money to the employees. Because if an employee gets, forget about the generosity part. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about a business reason.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you get an employee that's sick, it undermines your business, fundamental business. And this, as a previous caller, this is serious.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to redirect that money, toward making sure that your employees had the best of everything, including any medications that are come down the road that a lot of people will not be able to afford initially. I mean, and then give the stockholders a tax write off.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, set up like a foundation for your employees, and instead of paying them in the dividend, send them a tax write off because their dividend. And the people with the most money will get the biggest tax write-off because they have the most shares.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes business sense. It doesn't have anything to do with the right thing.
It's a shame you're retired, Jim.
Yes.
You know, you should be in there duking it out.
You know what? I mean, it's a different world now. But it's the irony of the whole thing is the people, the billionaires, they are at their billions are at risk. I mean, this is not like a strike or something. This is a fundamental. This is World War III. This is the only time. World War I and World War II, the countries were not involved.
Yeah, but it's not like they're going to drop off the face of the earth. This has a shelf life to it. So it's whatever losses they're going to take are not going to destroy their business.
Well, some will.
Not if you're a major corporation.
But let me take this to the other side of the coin. How about the PR that they would get? Would they not be able to attract some of the best of the best?
Yes. Yeah, it's smart. It is smart to think the way you're thinking. Corporations just think, mainly their bottom line. And if they thought like you, then maybe they could expand, you know, some things here. Listen, it's easier for wealthy people, i.e. company owners, big company owners, to survive in this, say, 6 month period than it's going to be for regular folks. And that's the fundamental logic of it. And you can complicate it with all kinds of variables. I get it. But that you're never going to change that part of it. And so you have a responsibility, I think, as a guy or a person or a company who is going to survive it and not fall off the face of the earth, to help the people who may not. 610-632-0975. Mike Masinelli Show. Couple open lines. We roll into the 3 o'clock hour on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.